kind of law to help educate our youth. That's a good thing.
That's right.
No.
Yes. One last lawyer, one more. That would be good.
No, it's not on.
Okay, no.
Ending.
Your floor.
Almost. Stairs are rebuilt. Entry style, just the steps. Tomorrow.
Good evening. This is the
Chair Stan Eisner, Vice Chair Matthew Nolan, Commissioner Stephen Maloney, Commissioner Brian Hyatt, Commissioner Daniel Mills,
here.
Commissioner Jennifer Parker, and Commissioner Dennis Teschlag.
Here.
You noted that we do have a quorum. This meeting.
You have in your packet the minutes of the meeting of March the 21st. If you've had the chance to review them, and I'll entertain a motion to adopt.
Second.
Aye.
Next item on our agenda is a public hearing. And this is a public hearing for the purpose of considering amendments to the Mill Creek Municipal Code, Amendment Title 1728, Conditional Use to Remove Wireless Communication Facilities, and adopting a new chapter, 1729, authorizing establishment
of standards and requirements for the development of all wireless communications. Staff.
Okay, thank you. Good evening, Commission. As the chair said, we're here to have the public hearing, the official public hearing for the wireless communication amendments to the code. I'll just start with a quick little bit of background. As you know, the FCC adopted some new rules, and that was on January 14th of this year. And as a result, we needed to take a look at our code, partially because we didn't have anything that addressed small cell facilities, but in addition, the FCC also had some time restrictions, which was going to make how we were currently processing macro facilities really challenging, because there's a 90-day time turnaround for new facilities and 60-day for co-locates. So to address those issues, we took a look at the code. Planning Commission has met in several work sessions to talk about the code and refine it along the way. Staff also met with PUD and the individual carriers, and we actually have a couple reps this evening. Carrie, I don't remember your last name, but with Verizon is here, and Kathy with Crown Castle. And I think they both signed up to speak, and we also have some public to speak. So during the public testimony, you'll get to hear and evaluate and take in their opinions. And then this evening, we're up to the public hearing portion. Following the public hearing and your discussion, you'll formulate and make a recommendation to the City Council. And the City Council will be considering it in first a work session and then a formal meeting, and probably in May, we're guessing is the time frame. Right now, I'd like to officially enter into the public hearing record the Planning Commission resolution, along with the attached staff report, the draft council ordinance, which actually contains the amendments themselves, and then any public testimony that's received this evening. Thank you. As far as the public noticing portion, we did issue a determination of non-significance on March 26th. The comment period expired on April 9th, and we didn't receive any comments on that. Oh, wait a minute. I'm sorry, except for Crown Castle. Crown Castle did submit comments, and I addressed them later in the presentation. We also, as required by the state, notified the Department of Commerce. That's a 60-day noticing requirement. We sent that in on March 26th, which kind of limits the council can't actually take action until their May 28th meeting. That would be the first meeting they'd be eligible because the 60-day period has to expire first. The public hearing notice, there's a couple of ways that we're required by the code to notice the public hearing. We're required to advertise in our paper of record, which is the Everett Herald. We also post on the City Hall bulletin board, the library bulletin board. But we went over and above that because it's a priority of council to engage the citizens. And so we put it on the website. I worked with the marketing department, and we used their Twitter and their Facebook to kind of broadcast and get the word out. We used press releases. So we didn't just do what we had to do. We went over and above because we really wanted some public participation, and we actually do have a couple members of the public. So it worked a little bit, maybe not as much as we might hope for, but it did work a little bit. What I'm going to do with the proposed amendments, I'm not going to go through them with a line-by-line look, so please feel free at any point to stop me if there's a section you want to get into a little deeper and discuss a little more. I'm just going to kind of give you the big pictures, and then we'll stop and have maybe discussion after each one. The first thing to the kind of primary thing that we did with the code, our current process had macro facilities approved as a conditional use. And that is a more time-consuming process. So what we did is we took all wireless communication facilities and made them an administrative decision. So that required taking them out of 1728, which is our conditional use chapter. And then a whole new chapter, 1729, was created. And this addresses all wireless facilities, not just small cell. It addresses the macro, the small cell, and what they call eligible facilities requests. And in addition to the kind of big change there, there are a number of little kind of peripheral amendments we needed to make, such as adding fees to the code. And as we discussed before, these fees are a deposit. And this is another FCC ruling, is we can only charge based on the actual time spent. So we're going to have to track time and either invoice for more if it goes above the deposit or return money if it's not as much as the deposit. Well, I'll tell you how it works. I'm going to give the presentation first. We'll have some discussion with the commission, and then we have what's called the public testimony portion. So I'll grab the sign-up sheet and bring it to the chair. He will call the people that have signed up one by one. You may have the podium right there. So then you get to come up to the podium and have your turn to have a say. Okay?
You're stating a lot of controversial subjects that are not necessarily.
Well, maybe take some notes so when it's your time at the podium, you can have your say.
Thank you.
Okay? Another kind of little peripheral amendment, we had to add wireless communication facilities as an administrative decision that's under the authority of the Director of Public Works and Development Services. We had to add an appeals section, and we already had an appeals process for administrative decisions, but when the wireless communication facility is in a public right-of-way, it can't go to the hearing examiner. It needs to go to Superior Court. So we made that change. And then we needed to add the wireless communication facilities as a principal use in all the zone districts. So I'll go ahead and pause here for a sec. Does anybody have any questions on these kind of peripheral minor amendments that go with the brand new chapter? Okie dokie. The first one is Article 1. It's divided, Chapter 1729 is divided up into four sections. The first one contains purpose, definitions, general provisions, and then we add an exemptions section. We did make one tiny little amendment to the exemptions section. When we added it, it said government devices associated with a facility, And there was a little bit of concern that possibly there might be an application for a macro facility and they would think that it fit under there. It didn't really, because it said devices instead of facilities, but we just wanted to make it really clear, if it's a brand new tower or a brand new small cell, it has to go through the process. It's not exempt, whether it's government or not. It still has to go through the process. Okay, and Article 2, this is the macro facilities chapter, and this is what we previously had in our conditional use chapter. A lot of the stuff from the conditional use chapter carried forward. This chapter includes the things that are required for the application process, the procedure, the review criteria, prioritized locations, and design and concealment standards. And like I said, a lot of this we already actually had in the code, and we carried it forward. Okay, feel free to yell if you want me to stop. Okay, no, not you, sorry, just the commission. Article 3, eligible facilities requests. And what this is an existing facility. If they're making a change to a tower that's already there and they're changing out the antenna, and it qualifies as an eligible facilities request if it doesn't significantly change the size. Like, say, if they're just swapping out antennas. But if they're making a change that really changes the volume of what's up there, it wouldn't qualify, and it would have to go through the process, probably through the macro process, or because I don't think they change out equipment as much with the small cell. And then Article 4, that's the biggest new chapter, because we didn't have anything previously that addressed small cell facilities at all. This chapter includes the application and process again, permit requirements, the review criteria, and how modifications are handled, as well as the design standards again. Just moving on. Okay, like I mentioned earlier, we did get some comments from Crown Castle. They had three different sections of the code that they had some concern with. And this is the text of how I'm proposing to address those concerns. The first one, 1729050, this is under the macro facilities. And we kind of wordsmithed this same section when it was in the small cell chapter. You guys probably remember it. They were concerned. They said that they didn't always have, like, name, address, and phone number of the owner of the property. So I did strike out phone number, because name and address, that's readily available in the assessor's records. You may not have the phone number, but you'll easily be able to get the name and address. And then the other part, we asked for a document or lease, and they were concerned they wouldn't be able to give us the lease. So we used this change in the small cell. Documentation establishing the lease or easement right and permission of the property owner to locate the macro facility on the private property. So we just changed the language so other things besides just the lease would work. They could have a letter from the owner. There's a number of ways they could fulfill that. Our primary purpose is just to make sure they have permission.
Isn't it Crown Castle's role in the process to be managing those leases? How would they not have a copy of the lease?
Well, and actually, when it comes to public, let's go ahead and have Kathy address that, okay?
Okay.
But the change that I'm proposing is the similar change that we made in the small cell. The other section they had a question on, 1729080. This is when the macro facility is located in a residential area. And we had this in our old condition of use, and we carried the condition forward, that it has to be set back 150 feet from residential structures and the right-of-way. And they were concerned this would be too restrictive. And when we first put it in the conditional use, we took a really good look at what their other options were. You know, back, I don't know how many years ago, we did the wireless facilities in conditional use. But there's MCCA property, the golf course, there's schools. We have 10 neighborhood parks and, you know, three different school facilities. There's a lot of other options. There, and we're still pretty firm on that we didn't want a macro tower on Village Green Drive. You know, you can when it's your turn to talk.
Question until we get to the open public hearing. Thank you.
Okay. And is everybody kind of feeling the same way? Staff felt pretty strongly that we wanted to keep that 150 feet restriction in there. Okay. Then the next one, 1729260, this is the micro facility, or the strand mounted facilities, I'm sorry. We originally had 3 cubic feet was the maximum. Crown Castle has some that need 4 cubic feet. And we have a number of places in the code where it says, you know, this is the rule, unless you can demonstrate to the satisfaction of the director that the 3 cubic feet maximum is technically infeasible. So it gives them a little caveat to go up if they absolutely need to, but it still keeps the 3 cubic foot max in there, which is what we really would want to shoot for. And we would want them to show that that's not going to work, not just put in 4 because it could work for more people or something. Okay, are there any questions on these changes that we're proposing to the council ordinance? Okay, so I think we're up to the public testimony portion. Let me get you the sign-up sheet.
Formally open the public hearing.
Yeah, and if there are any commission questions before, we could go there too.
Process standpoint, so you at this point from a staff standpoint would be asking us to recommend adoption of this with the modifications proposed tonight.
As long as you agree with the modifications.
Now we can formally open the public hearing.
And we have 3 people that have asked to speak. I would ask that when you address the microphone, you give your name and your address, and
Marino representing Verizon Wireless, and my office is in Bellevue, Washington. So this evening I wanted to just thank you for the opportunity to comment on the work you're doing to support small cell wireless facilities. As you probably know, mobile data usage has grown incredibly in the last several years. The citizens and businesses in Mill Creek rely every day more and more on wireless data facilities. There are lots of examples. I can go into a few of them. There's 24/7 monitoring of medical devices such as sleep apnea machines, insulin monitors, rely on wireless data. There's smart sensors for traffic lights that help with the navigation systems and making sure that the traffic flows, minimizing pollution and again, easing traffic flow. There's the smart doorbells that keep people safe. And in addition to that, almost 80% of all 911 calls originate on wireless phones. And wireless data also supports most critical first responder applications and support. So there's also other applications such as droids with cameras that can help with heat sensors to find, you know, lost children, elderly, et cetera. So there are a lot of extraordinary applications that rely on ever-increasing use of wireless data. So as a carrier, we appreciate the collaborative approach that the City of Mill Creek has taken to engage Ogden Murphy Wallace, to engage Snohomish PUD, and all of the carriers to ensure that we have a viable path forward to support your aesthetic standards, your values, and also the needs of the citizens and businesses in Mill Creek. So thank you very much for your time and attention.
This is a corporate takeover of our freedoms. You shouldn't listen to this crap.
Good evening. My name is Kathy Putt. I'm here on behalf of Crown Castle. You may wonder what Crown Castle is. They're a provider of wireless communication infrastructure, fiber, small cell, and towers, as well as rooftop antennas. So my name is Kathy Putt. I'm the Government Affairs Manager. I just wanted to come tonight and thank you for your consideration of what's before you tonight. I also wanted to applaud the work that your staff did and your attorney did. It was a very inclusive process, and I felt like, you know, when we brought concerns to them, they listened. I am here tonight because I had three additional changes, which you were already presented with. I on behalf of Crown, am okay with the way they address those concerns, and I appreciate that. I think that's really indicative of how the whole process has gone. They've, you know, we've raised issues, and they've addressed our concerns. You did have a question. Oh, you had a question on the property owner.
The lease.
Lease.
The lease, yes. So we do have a copy of the lease if we have a lease. Sometimes I've been told for our towers, when we site towers, our agreement isn't always necessarily directly with the property owner. It may have been an acquisition of an easement. Or some other methodology. We always can demonstrate that we have the right to occupy and use the property, but it may not be directly with the property owner, who may be one or two steps removed. So, anyway, thank you again very much. Appreciate it.
Hello. My name is Sherry Clemens. I live at 2703 143rd Place Southeast in Mill Creek. And I guess I'm here to represent humanity aspect of this 5G technology that's being rolled out and the health aspects of it. Basically, because 5G is not 4G upgraded, it's a different technology. It's high frequency millimeter waves, and it sounds like it's very dangerous to humanity. In fact, I would just like to read this declassified CIA document, just the last paragraph. Thus, the conducted investigations indicate high biological activity and an unfavorable influence of millimeter radio waves on the organism. The expressions of the biological reactions increased with the increase of the period irradiation and depended on individual characteristics of the organism. So here we are, you know, bringing this 5G technology, from what I understand, down through our neighborhoods, everywhere in our community, 24/7. Okay, so this is, from what I understand, military technology, military-grade technology, 5G, and they use it to disperse for crowd control. They use it to disperse crowds because it causes burning of the skin. They use it for the what they call the voice of God technology, where they put voices in people's head telling them to do things. They hear voices to go do things. And they use the airport scanners that people know are dangerous to their health, the ones you go stand in. That is 5G technology. But this is going to be 24/7, remember, into our homes, into our communities. So, plus zero, absolutely zero research or studies out there that this is safe. None. Nothing exists that 5G, we're not talking 4G, what we're currently dealing with, 5G is safe. I think there's a huge problem with that, and I would like to ask the council or the committee to maybe do what Portland, Oregon is doing right now. They're taking the stance of the city officials are setting up to run opposition to the installation of 5G networks around the city because the city feels that the 5G health risks are not well enough understood to warrant the installations. There's no reason why Mill Creek can't do that. And there's many cities in, I think we have more power. Well, even to just take a backseat stance, to be very prudent, extremely cautious. We don't have to be the first, the forerunner out there putting this everywhere, because if there, is a problem that comes up in the future and we have to take this technology down, that's not smart. It's much smarter to, you know, maybe take a wait-and-see attitude. We have lawyers, whatever. I'm sure there's ways of slowing this down. So the other thing I want to say is the last thing, it appears that this whole 5G thing may be just crumbling worldwide because, you know, we have Portland, Oregon. We have countries all over the world saying no until we know the health risk and the health aspects of this technology, because it is not 4G. It is a different, it's high-frequency microwave radiation. We're putting a moratorium on it. We're not Belgium coming out saying our people are not going to be guinea pigs for profit. I think we need to listen to the 26,000 scientists who have come together and petitioned the UN, WHO, the World Health Organization, and the governments of the world and the cities to take stock of these warnings on health. Lastly, I had the fortune, the opportunity to talk to Dr. Martin Paul, and he's professor emeritus for biochemistry and medical science at Washington State University, and he's a world-renowned expert in this wireless technology. And I asked him, you know, we talked for a long time, and I was telling him our city in Mill Creek is implementing 5G, or et cetera. I says, in your opinion, what is going to happen when we're completely implemented? I've got a 5G antenna in front of my house on my light pole. What's going to happen, in your opinion? And I kid you not, he said, people are going to die. This is no joke. I take this very seriously. That's what he said. People are going to die. And it's not going to be a matter of years, months, because our bodies, the cells in our bodies, cannot handle being radiated with that high frequency 24/7. So I would just urge you to take Portland, Oregon's, what they've done with their city mayor and their commissioners in setting up this opposition, and take this wait-and-see attitude, because, you know, it's easier to do it up front than try and take down all these structures and stuff if things go south after it's already been implemented. So thank you.
And also,
sir, your name?
The attorneys that...
Sir, could you come to the microphone?
I think the wait-and-see attitude...
What is your name, sir?
My name is Kevin Clemens. I think the wait-and-see attitude is the wrong approach. I think it's a well-documented that the 5G is dangerous to human organisms and the environment. And Sherry presented this very well. And I'm in agreement that I think the people need to be more involved in this decision than to have a small group of people, as prestigious as you are, to make this decision for our community. Thank you.
Thank you. And may I respond to that just briefly and say that the reason we go through this procedure, where we are before the Planning Commission, and this matter goes on with the City Council for its consideration, and all of your comments will not only be a part of the that it will be a public hearing before the City Council, at which time you'll have an opportunity to present.
Actually, there's no public hearing. They take your recommendation, but they will get the comments.
Doing this where they are prohibiting a small cell installation in residential areas. And they're just allowing it in the installations in, what do they call it, the city areas, whatever, but not the private residential streets. And so there's several, I guess the cities have more power than the federal preemption has been exaggerated. And so, maybe even not have this technology at 100%, so we don't have to have so many of those little boxes everywhere. And a lot of cities are opting, the small cells must be 2,000 feet apart instead of, I don't know what I read in your paperwork, like 150 feet. I mean, some ridiculous thing like that. And some, like Hampstead, New York, requiring a 4-foot warning sign on the pole. I mean, these are all Mason, Ohio. No small cells in residential areas, 100 feet. Okay, well, you guys already covered that, 150 feet. Anyway, I can leave this if you want to read this. This is off. Sorry?
We'll enter into the proceedings of this public hearing.
Okay.
Thank you. There being no others, close the public hearing. At 7:31.
Are there any commission questions?
I have one regarding the exemption of the cubic footage of
the strand mounted, the 3 cubic feet.
Should we consider a maximum size? And I say that because if the carrier would like to demonstrate why they need to go larger, suddenly they have a 20-foot box.
I think that's a good idea.
I'll just throw that out as a potential. You know, what's the maximum that we should write into this ordinance?
They did say that they needed 4. How about 4 as the max then? And I like the idea of putting a maximum in there.
Yeah, obviously, yeah, with that caveat for sure. But yeah, maybe there's, because yeah, I could see someone coming back and say,
Can I respond? The reason we first thought about just changing the 3 to a 4 and accommodating the request, but we thought that trying to encourage it to stay as small as possible and leaving the have to convince us that 4 is what they needed, if it was 4.5 without putting a certain number, because we don't know what the technology is going to be. That's why we chose that. So you could do either one. You could just give them what they asked for and just change it to a 4, but then we might have to change the code if something happens. It just seemed more prudent to do it that way.
Sure. I like that the 3 is there. I just was wondering, the upper limit.
So, Tom, are you saying then that you...
I think the way it is.
Favor of putting a maximum on it?
Okay.
So the maximum right now is 3, which is what you said.
Yeah, okay.
That's a good point. Yeah, it is. It's still, so if someone comes in at 5.2, you could say there is a limit. It's the director's discretion. Okay, thanks.
Right. And that does, so it's back to you.
I would ask the commissioners if they had any additional comments.
I would just want to comment. I do want to thank the staff for reaching out, and I do thank the public for coming tonight and providing these comments. I would recognize that if we're asked as a commission how this is implemented, the questions that have come tonight from the public are related to an FCC rule that we as a local agency don't oversee, and the federal government has come in and said, you will have these. What we're trying to do is regulate that. You will have this process from an aesthetic and a technical standpoint for the city. And we have had multiple meetings on this, and I do want to make sure in the record we thank the staff and the city attorney for their hard work and working with the carriers and researching some of the issues we've heard from the public tonight.
With that, I would close the public hearing, and if I may recommend that we have a resolution, 2019-166, which I can read by title only, or do it.
I would make a motion to adopt the resolution as modified at the hearing tonight with the additional comments from staff for the changes they suggested.
Do I have a second?
A second.
Moved and seconded to adopt the resolution 2019-166, a resolution of the City Planning Commission recommending to the City Council. Vote, all in favor? Vote. You're not a member of the commission, but your comments are.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next item on our agenda is a work session.
It is going to go to council in May, and we'll make sure you get notified.
You're going to turn on a light post and put in lights and
antennas? Well, all of our meetings are posted on web, city web.
We have your email address. We'll make sure you get notified when it goes to the city council.
Not necessarily that just the meetings, but the, you know, like the planning schedule for the whatever you decide to do.
For coming. Tom, the next item is the 2019-2020 program.
All right.
Good evening, members of the Planning Commission. If you recall, at the last meeting, during the, I think it was for the good of the order, we talked about some of the things that the city staff, our department, Development Services and Public Works is going to be working on over the next biennium. And the commission asked, I think the chair asked, that we bring in that work program and let you sort of know what's going on. And so that's what I'm here to do on this. And in your packet, there's a 11 by 17 sort of table that was created in Word. And what I thought I'd like to do is just sort of go through those fairly quickly. It's not a real extensive list. We should be able to get fairly quickly, but I'd like to sort of describe what our and this doesn't deal with the engineering side. We have four divisions in our department. Well, actually, we have three, but we also have administration, which is sort of overarching. So we have actually our this table actually has four sections in it, but this is the ones that you would be the most involved in or have an actual part in these projects. So the engineering and the maintenance things are not in here. So the first one on here is sort of the day-to-day, what we do, answering the phone,
dealing with processing applications, binding site plans. That sort of takes up a lot of our time, and although we just wanted to make sure we recognize that, we added that one in last, actually, because mostly this deals with sort of the milestones of things that you got that are sort of exceptional, but the most things we do is the first thing on here.
According to this.
I'll let you know when we're done. About 3 years it might be over. The second item is something that is really exciting, and I would have told you about in, for the good of the order, is our Mill Creek Boulevard sub-area plan. We are right now, next Tuesday night, the council is set to hire the consultant. We picked OTAC. We gave a briefing to the council at the last meeting. It seems like the council is excited about the project. We're excited about the project. It's a 1 year. It'll go from April to April. There is a number of times where they are going to come to the Planning Commission before we go out public to the workshops with the alternatives to make sure that the Planning Commission as well as the City Council get a chance to sort of know what's going on and make sure that we don't get ahead of ourselves as far as what's acceptable for the city vision, the community vision, what's realistic or not. So there's a lot of opportunity for the Commission as a whole, as a body, to weigh in. Staff was also recommending that there be an advisory committee set up that would sort of steer the work of the staff and the consultant. And the way we have recommended it as staff, the council has not weighed in yet, would be to have three council members, three planning commissioners, representatives from the other boards, DRB, Parks Board, Arts and Beautification, and then some business associations and a couple at-large citizens. And the reason we limited it to three is that that way it's not actually considered a planning commission meeting or a city council meeting as far as the public notice requirements, the taping, all the record keeping that goes with that. But it lets the various members of the boards that have control over this ultimately to be involved all along and to make sure the process, you know, sort of meets what the expectations are. So you will, if the council agrees with that membership, I'll be coming back to you at the next meeting asking for some volunteers, and you guys will have to appoint X number of people to serve on this committee. Yes?
I've got a question. So I have a professional relationship with OTAC, not this contract, but I do work for them in other capacities. Do I need to recuse myself at some level?
You know what? This is all legislative.
Okay.
So I don't think there's any...
There's no business, I see.
The fact that you say that is probably enough, and okay. If people object, then you can decide whether or not you want to.
Yeah, because I know I know I don't have any relationship with OTAC on this one. They never called my firm to be...
To be really safe, once that notice goes out, we would let you know in advance that we're going to be asking for that. If you'd send an email asking that question, I'd fire it by our city attorney just to make sure it's all documented.
Okay, sure. Yeah, if they
but,
do select OTAC.
Off the top of my head, if it's legislative, you're okay. If it was site-specific, if we were doing actual development proposal. But it is about a certain area, so let's just be really...
I guarantee if I was on the council, I'd have probably already recused myself from voting because of my professional relationship with OTAC.
Sometimes, if it just feels funny...
Yep, you know, that's why I'm asking.
Maybe it is,
I'm fine with being on the boards and all that kind of stuff, but I don't want to cause any problems for anyone, someone's.
But, if you decide you might want to throw your hat in, just send us an email ahead of time and we'll get a reading on that.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
So that's really probably the biggest ta-da project we've got. That's real exciting for us. We haven't done this in a long time. So it should be really, it has a very extensive public participation process. And so maybe the next meeting, if the contract gets signed on next Tuesday, then we can go ahead. So if that contract is signed, I can come back and sort of show you the highlights of that contract. If you want to look at it yourselves, it's in the planning or in the city council packet for the next meeting. The next project, D3. It's kind of a minor project. We actually just have to assemble information we already have. One of the things that we're going to do if the farm is ultimately approved is it includes a large 58-acre, the old topsoil site. It's going to be a mitigation area and have public easements to go along the trails. And right now it's in pretty poor shape from a biological standpoint. And so we want to document what it looked like before. They're going to do a lot of mitigation. And if any of you have ever been to Narbeck near the Painfield Airport, the thought is that we've got 5 years during this period to, as they do the mitigation and then monitor it, to try to get other partners together and figure out what the vision for this area is. But we want to sort of have like the before pictures all sort of documented. And so then we can sort of figure out what we want to be. We've got those in the wetland studies already, but it's not really assembled in the way we wanted. We sort of want to have a little different format on that. Number four, it's pretty simple. We've got a contract with Adolfson, ESA, to do all of our peer review on our wetland reports are done by developers for developments. And it has a $50,000 limit. I think it's about 5 years old now. And once it gets up to that, we have to renew the contract. So I'm working on that. Critical Area Regulations. All right. We like acronyms. The next one, D5, is what you guys have just done tonight. Your role in that is completed, so I'll get to mark that off as completed. Franchise agreements. There are several franchise. I don't know if you know what a franchise agreement is, but it's various utilities, gas company, Comcast, Frontier. There are other anybody that uses the city's right of way. For them to use that, they have to get an agreement through the city. It sets up standards for how they restore the property, whether they have to get a right of way use permit or not, who the contact people are. It just sets all the procedures. It says the cities have the rights. You know, we're the superior one, I guess, is what it is. And then if we're going to do a project, we can tell them they have to relocate it if we give them enough time at no cost. So there's a whole bunch of rules. And so we're tasked with getting three of those in the next. That one's going to bump up a little bit. We're working with Alana on those as well, but she's pretty much tied up with the WCF stuff. So that may bump a little bit. But that's my workload. Well, Lana's work that she did about this sort of is delaying what she's doing on the other, but they're actually separate. It's not the same. The next thing, the business park zoning code amendments. Staff has put our heads together, and we thought we've got just a few business park properties left, mostly south of 164 down the highway. There's something in probably the focus area would be on SR 527 near between the lighthouse stores and some large vacant pieces on the west side. And there's some thought that what would we do if we were to try to change the rules a little bit, disperse some more activity? We hear from the development community and the property owners that they can't really market the property except for business mini storage. But if they had a little more flexibility, maybe for a restaurant or something like that. So we're going to explore that and come up with some language and see what you guys think about that and see if that gets any legs or not and goes anywhere. But we're working on putting something together for you to consider. Code enforcement, we have a code enforcement case that's been going on for a long time and it's almost wrapped up. So that's something that we're working on. That's number eight. Number nine. We're going to get into that at the end of this year, in the fourth quarter. And I think I've talked to you about this before. It's been on our work program for a long time. There was a Supreme Court decision that says some of the things that we have in our code are not necessarily, could be considered unconstitutional, meaning that if you have to read what the sign says to know if you can have it or not, meaning basically you have to look at the message, then our code probably should be fixed. It should just be based on size and how far away and things that are more language or text neutral. And so that's something that's been our work program for a while, and so we'll be working on that with the city attorney. That would come through this board, certainly before it went to the city council for a final action. Fire District 7, we have an interlocal agreement with them to get mitigation to help pay for fire services, the impacts of various developments. Well, that was based on when they were building the fire station and buying certain equipment at that time. And all that bond that they bonded for is expired. It's all been paid off. So the need for that sort of the basis of that agreement is no longer valid. So we're going to, they're no longer requesting mitigation when we had development. So basically it's okay. They're not getting anything they shouldn't get. However, we really should get it off the books. So we're going to do that. Now, D11, if you don't read onto the second page, it sounds a little funny. But it means mitigation site sanctuary partnership opportunities. Okay, so that's what I mentioned before, is that we have a five-year window of where the public's going to have access. They're going to have do the mitigation. The public can walk through it. But the city doesn't actually accept the property. We entered into a development agreement with a developer, and at the end of 5 years, the city can say, keep it private. You don't have to have public access, but it's still a mitigation site. It's still good for the critters and stuff, and it still has to be maintained for that. Or the city can accept it and keep it open to the public as basically a nature park kind of a thing. And so that gives us a five-year window for staff to do a number of things. One is to figure out what the maintenance costs are going to be, you know, so we have a good picture of that so the council can make a prudent decision about that. And also to work with partners as far as figuring out what the vision would be and maybe get other people to help pay for maintenance, things like that. So it's a fairly, 5 years sounds like a long time, but it's a fairly short period of time. But once it gets starts happening, we're thinking of like the Audubon Society. We're talking about Snohomish County, possibly. Forterra, used to be Thousand Friends. There are a lot of different groups that would maybe participate in something like this.
Actually, I was thinking the other way off, that the ADA permit on like that, a five-year minimum, should see you call and they'll let the
project approvals permit requirements on. Well, we have, the city is doing it. It's not a core permit, so it's just the five-year monitoring period in our own code, and at the end of that, then we will release the bonds. And so that sort of lines up that way, because we want to take it after they're done and it passes all its scrutiny.
Yeah, exactly.
So we don't get something that hasn't performed well. But at least after 5 years, it gives the council time to see how it's going. Is the public, do they like it? Is it being used? And then also, what's it going to cost to keep it maintained? What's the vision? And do we have anybody else to help us? So that's what that item is. And while it's on there, it's likely that we're not going to do a whole lot of that work until after the project is constructed, because it's not going to be open until after they've done all their work. And that's why we wanted it on here as a placeholder. You can start next year, but it's going to take the full 5 years. So it's we don't really know a whole lot about what that means yet, but it's on here. And then the last one, D12, is a North Peak Trail study. And what we have is that's tied in with the engineering group. And we have Mill Creek, the North Creek Trail here, but there's a few sections that aren't done yet. One is the 9th Avenue piece. Right now you just sort of walk along 9th Avenue. It's not really designated as a trail. It's not likely to have developers build that trail because a lot of those are very encumbered with wetlands, and so they may not in any short period of time. There's also the area around the pond when you get onto the sidewalk, going down to 164th. And that's also going to be looked at in the Mill Creek Boulevard study as well. But the idea is to sort of look at sort of what's left. Do we need to do anything? Is 9th Avenue the way it is? Okay. And then the Snohomish County Trail is going to come up and connect in at 183rd from Bothell coming up. And then there's also the interurban on the north. And so the idea is to sort of look at how are those connected, is there any way to make it a better connection, more obvious, instead of having to go through McCollum Park and somehow get across the road.
And
based on the workload and the staff, we have I think it's a $9 million CIP that our engineering group is really working on delivering right now, dealing with stormwater repairs mostly. That's sort of, it's programmed on what our resources are for staffing. So that's what we're working on. I didn't go over these on the legend at the bottom. There's other little things in parens about like kind of which departments are kind of working on it and partnering. You know, DS is Development Services, E is Engineering. Most of these don't apply. A lot of them go back to the engineering part of the table. Do you have any questions? Oh, yeah. You know, we're real excited about the Mill Creek Boulevard study. That's gonna be a lot of fun. And we've got a really top-notch firm and a team. So
We're pretty excited about it. Oh, yeah, all this stuff is doable, and that's why we brought OTAC on. They've got a great staff. We've got a budget that can get the work done. It's not something that's, I think it's right sized, it's right budgeted, it's right staff. So. I'd like to hope it's really high. You know,
seen the Nyambeck Park over by Painfield and.
Yeah.
Well, oh, it's really cool. I mean,
sanctuary.
I think that we could have something like
that closer. It's really nice. The Beaumont Business Park, which is owned and operated by Payne Field, and so the airport director was kind of like our landlord, not the county directly, and that was one of their big kind of pet projects. I think they were a big supporter of Nyambeck, and so we used to go and clean up. I didn't know it even existed all the times going to, you know, around Boeing or going down to Phil Johnson, and it's like all of a sudden there's this little wildlife sanctuary down there. It's really cool. I mean, to think that we would have something like that would be really awesome.
It's pretty exciting. They actually created a lot of wetlands there because they had future improvements that they wanted to do, and so that's like a big wetland mitigation bank for them that they haven't used it all up yet. So they have a lot of development they could do because they built that ahead of time. So it's a very successful project. It's looked at, and people, you bring people by if you want to show somebody what you might do or what a mitigation site could be. I think that it could be as good or better. It's certainly one thing that's nice, if you've been on the topsoil site, the trails that are going to be used, they kind of circular, they're wide enough for big dump trucks with trailers on them to go through. So the city could actually use that. We could have a 5K walk. We could do all kinds of other little things that Nyambeck might not necessarily be, because it's a little...
It's narrow, yeah.
It's a little bit narrower, but this has sort of a really wide footprint for the trails that are sort of existing. And it's sort of... It's got to take time, though, for those trees. Nyambeck was all just scraped clean and then built up, and it looks nice. The trees are kind of young, but they're like 20 years old now. Mm-hmm. But it's going to take some time, but I think ultimately it could be very, very... appealing, certainly a good birder spot. It's large enough. It's 50 acres.
Yeah.
A migratory site. There's a lot of wildlife there now, and if you improve it, it'll get a lot better.
Yeah, totally. I mean, that's what I see, is that there's already a great... it's big enough to where even if you walk back there now, you kind of feel like you're in a different... You know, you feel like you're out of Mill Creek. I mean, it seems like a different place. So with some purposeful... you know, development around there. That would be really cool.
Well, the mitigation plan has a small parking lot on the south side that you'd be able to come into, walk in, sidewalk, obviously. There should be, we're working on getting the easement to get a connection from the farm directly to it, so when that commercial gets going, be able to pop through there. So it has a lot of potential. We're pretty excited about that. Staff was really excited that we were able to negotiate. Them to do a beaver management plan in there, and then we turned it into acquiring 50 acres, including some uplands that would have supported up to 10 houses on the east side of it, and then the opportunity to give it to the city if it makes sense for us to take it. And so we're pretty proud of that. Yeah. So do you have anything, Sherry, for good of the world?
Don't leave. I want to get your photo before we leave.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. You got to take pictures except for Brian.
Two things before we go. One of them, macro. What's happening with the dump station and whatever's going on? Trucks coming in and out.
Are you talking about the city's property that we own up,
yeah,
up by the sports park?
Yeah, well, it's now become like wall-to-wall truck stop. I don't know what the hell they're doing there.
I'm not aware. I know that it was being used by CT to store some materials while they were building their project, and they may be cleaning that out. We had it. They were using it for that. I know that during the winter we stored some, Public Works stores some things, but they don't have a whole lot up there. Usually it doesn't have a whole lot of activity. I'll ask Nathan, and maybe we can send an email out, just know what's been going on.
Because the green line is done now, so if they had anything left
there. Yeah, they may be basically demobilizing.
Yeah, whatever they're doing to the park, sports park.
Oh, that's what it is. Okay.
I own.
They're about done with that. That'll stop next week.
Almost. Is it done, turf?
It was supposed to open last weekend, and I think It's going to open this weekend because they had a little weather issue.
Has the lighting been done?
Going to be done. Yeah, it should be done.
That was all part of that bond, or several ones, all new. Is it all like LEDs?
Yes.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah, they're going to LEDs, all new. They're putting little children's something, I think, doing something over there, like a cover.
Well, that's Sue's property.
That's the Kelly property at the very end. It's still for sale.
I just wondered whether
No, I think it's probably a staging area for the construction of the park. And that's almost done.
And second, see the Boston Pizza.
Yes, what I read in the Herald was that one, another one in Bellingham, and the other one is. The three of them went out of business. They're going to open up again. It has something to do with the franchisee agreement or something. So it's not because this one was doing particularly poorly. Or I think it has to do with some sort of legal, and I don't know why. But
the Herald has an article on that, and the disagreement between the corporate parent and the franchisee who had the three franchises in this area. So they shut down the company because they against the franchisee for number three.
But maybe they violated the terms of their franchise. I mean, I don't know. But it should, I also said that it should open at some point. So, yeah, we were surprised. It just happened.
I heard they were, well, yeah, and I, although not as surprised as I guess all of the employees who found out the hard way. But are they being taken, is it being taken over as a corporate store? That is what I had heard, but. Okay.
I would have, yeah, they didn't tell us about it. Anything else?
Actually have four because we have three terms that are up and then a midterm resignation. But the interviews are next Tuesday, so by May we should have a full commission.
Which would be nice, so you'll have a full group to pick your participants on your advisory committee.
There were nine. We had a nice amount.
No. All right, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
We're going on vacation.
Well, if there's no other business, Commissioner, motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
All come for it?
Those guys are nuts.
I know.
Especially the guy.
Well, that's why I wanted to make it on the record.
We don't got you. All day long.
Oh, my God. Don't forget your tinfoil hat. I think you left it on your chair.
Yeah.
Holy moly. Well, you know, they even speak a little bit, you know, in Senate.
Conspiracy theory.
Oh, Alex Jones.
Millennium something.com.
So those two married, I think, if they're both
Couples,
right? I mean, that's two pieces of pie.
Well,
she seemed rational
until she started speaking.
Well, she
she had manners.
She lied to the property.
Yes. That's correct.
There you go.
She did
she's
sign that.
That's correct.
Thank you.
You gotta take your fancy coat off. Yeah.
Oh, jeez.
They even turned the lights off. I looked up the Portland thing real quickly. It's just kind of new to the Trump administration. It wasn't
exactly.
It was the FCC. It was an overreach, not anything to do with the technical issues.
Correct.
Which is great if the governments want to do that. We're not going to do that.
Oh, I would like to be on it too, but I just don't want to get busted.
Well,
yeah.
Well, they'll be able to take that off.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, even if you're not on it, we're going to bring the team to the.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Alternate, so if somebody's not able to be there, you can always have three, you've got a max of three. So.
Yeah. I do work for with King County. They have an IDIQ with King County. I'm on that call.
You don't need your
No, I don't. I know our OTAC's big.
Accentuated that by planting on each different phase of different plants. But the North 40 is an amazing one of the things to do mitigation work. And you look at that, and you can't imagine that space being, big swamp.
You need to drink a lot.
Oh, yeah. I remember I bought a my truck mower.
There's so many places. And, the North 40 people use it. They walk it. It reminded me that. It's like you're talking about everything when Boeing example. Started on the mitigation there, and I worked on that because it was the darn ducks were getting sucked. All kinds of issues about it. How do we build a wetland here?